Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL is going to tick you off this season, not just about Deshaun Watson. They're going to tick you off at some point this season because their focus is on illegal contact.
I hate this penalty. I think it's the worst penalty in the league.
They got, you know, every year you have that. Here's what we're going to focus on.
Yeah.
This year's illegal contact fouls. There's going to be a flag that we're all going to be up in arms about. That's going to change the course of a game.
Yep.
That's going to be absolutely uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to
put it out there right now. It's going to happen. Probably in week one.
Yeah. They're going to have the emphasis,
one,
which means overemphasis, which means we're going to be Tyrann Mathewing together.
Right.
We're going to have our hands in the air going, what the heck are they doing making that call at that spot in a game?
Is there a more devastating, soul-crushing penalty than the illegal contact on 3rd and 7 and you have an illegal contact away from the play and it's an automatic 5-yard penalty and automatic first down as well? I don't think there's a more soul-crushing, stab-me-in-the-heart-and-twist-the-knife penalty than what we see with those illegal contact penalties. I think they flat-out stink, and they ruin games. It crushes the defense. It's hard to recover if you're on defense from one of those penalties. I wish the NFL didn't say we're putting an extra emphasis on it, because I think they've already put an emphasis on it. How many times, Josh, have you been down there on the sidelines as the chief sideline reporter now for your third consecutive season and seen that flag fly away from the play?
I hate that.
And it continues a drive. We've all been there as a fan. No matter what team you root for, this penalty has hurt you in some form or another. It's going to stink, because I think this penalty that they're going to call and they're going to place an emphasis on, I guarantee you in week one, we see games flipped and teams end up losing because they're unable to recover from that penalty. Now, you could say that's on the coach, that's on the team. You got to be able to recover from this kind of stuff. I just don't think this needs to be a point of emphasis for the NFL. I just don't, because I think it already is a point of emphasis
for
the league.
It was called an average of 97 times per season. Over almost a 20-year span, 2002 to 2020, 97 times per season. Last year was only 36. They're like, well, we got to do something about this.
There were only 36 of those penalties called?
Yeah.
In the whole year?
Yeah.
Bull.
Last year. Yeah, last year they said there's only 36. And that's why they're like, well, I guess we got to reemphasize this.
No way.
Yeah, it dropped by 2/3. And so they're like, well, this can't be. No, it seems like last year it was it stayed out of the way, and we were all fine with it. Did anybody miss the lack of illegal contact penalties last year? Raise your hand. None of you.
No.
Just whatever you were doing,
stop
it was fine.
That. Those penalties suck. They're the worst.
Whatever it was doing, you're fine.
Yeah, like I can live with a pass interference. I can live with roughing the passer.
If it's actually involved in the play.
Right. But those that are away from the play and the play, you know, all right, we stopped them, but the penalty was like 75 yards the other direction.
If it's directly involved with the play, call it.
Right.
If it's away from the play and it's clearly, and you can make those judgment calls too, you know, make it a judgment call. If it's clearly away from the play, I don't care if the outside receiver is being held, if they threw it to the inside receiver, if the guy on the right side was being held, if you threw it to the left.
Especially when he looks at his first read, he doesn't even pay attention to that side of the field. Yeah.
You don't need to throw it. So they're going to overthrow it here. Just wait for it.
A lot of good texts coming in about this penalty right now from the 314. This is how they can influence outcomes. When people ask me all the time, how do you think the league is scripted? And
well, a weird flag on the field.
Right. A weird flag on the field is something. Yeah, from the 417, might as well say they're putting an emphasis on bailing out Brady late in games.
True. True. Very true. But remember, Mahomes gets some of that stuff now, too. Okay?
That's true. He does. He does.
So.
Also from the 816, so the Chiefs accounted for 15% of the illegal contact penalties in the league last year. Good stuff.
You don't like a proposed stadium location?
I don't hate the proposed stadium location, but I like the original stadium location for the Royals in downtown Kansas City. There's a new kind of area being discussed, and it's where the Kansas City Star building is. Remember when that building went up like 5 years ago and now they're tearing it down? There's talk of maybe that being the location for the new stadium. And while I think that's nice because it's right there next to P&L, and once they cover the loop and you can walk over and connecting it all together, to me, the point of the new downtown stadium is not necessarily about the stadium itself, but having the ability for the Royals as an organization to develop the area. Most of that area where the Star building is has a lot of development in it. The East Village location, which I've been talking about for years as the prime location, has nothing but parking lots and areas where you can develop for the Royals to make extra money, because that is the point of the new downtown stadium, Josh. It's not just for us on game day. It's to be a year-round revenue generator for the ball club so they can make the team as competitive as possible. The more money that they generate, the more money that they get to keep, the more money they can put back into the franchise. To me, that's the whole point of that downtown stadium. And there's an article in the Business Journal that says there are folks that are afraid that a new district will cannibalize the P&L. And you and I have talked about this over the years. I hate things like that. The Royals and Sprint Center should not be responsible for your business being successful. Your business should be good enough to be successful on its own and then have the extra added benefit of being able to bring in, you know, folks that are going to an event at the arena or going to an event at the stadium. Having the stadium and the arena be the catalyst for your business tells me you're not doing a good enough business. Don't worry about cannibalizing the P&L. There's enough people and enough visitors that can really have fun in two different areas of downtown, as we do right now. You've got the Crossroads, you've got the Power and Light District that people like to go to, you've got the River Market that people like to go to. It's okay to create and develop a new area, and that's what I want the Royals to do, because I want the Royals to be as successful and make as much money as they possibly can so they put the best possible product on the field. And if you're a restaurant that's complaining about a new area that could open that can cannibalize your business, cook better food, make better drinks, provide a better service than you're providing right now. I always hate when they say, well, we got to put the stadium here to help the businesses, or when businesses in Lawrence used to complain that we're moving a football game to Arrowhead Stadium, it's going to hurt our game day business. Well, do better business, provide a better product, and you won't have to rely on that kind of stuff. That should be an extra added bonus to your restaurant and bar, not the reason why your restaurant or bar succeeds or fails.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like if you did this, I don't know, When was T-Mobile Center? That's
2007 when it opened. Yeah,
if you're doing it then, and you were kind of building that whole district, it made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now it feels like do they need it?
Yeah,
no. I mean, feels like that's been a pretty successful.
I mean, they're adding three light in, for gosh sakes,
area without it. So yeah. and then even if you went to, you know, East Village, whatever, you're still very accessible to there anyway.
Yeah, you can walk over there, take the streetcar over there, take an Uber over there,
and then
there,
you continue to expand streetcar and everything and transit and whatever.
And you continue to build up downtown and continue to have other opportunities of revenue streams. That's the biggest reason why the Royals want to get out of Kauffman Stadium, is to have those extra streams of revenue, whether they own bars around the stadium, own condos around the stadium that people can buy and rent, have a hotel down there where people can stay, and have their hand in all the pot. I think the East Village location is the perfect location for this, because you're also kind of landlocked down there where that Star building is. You're trying to wedge a stadium. I mean, that Star building is long, right? A stadium is wide. And so they're trying to wedge a stadium in there, according to these artist renderings that I saw at the Business Journal. I just think you want to bypass that because I think, in my opinion, there's not enough room down there and not enough space down there for you to do what you truly want to do, and that's kind of establish a quote-unquote ballpark village or the Battery in Atlanta. I know that's something that John Sherman really likes. He talks about the Battery in Atlanta a lot, and doing that kind of development downtown Kansas City can be done in the East Village. I don't know that it can be done on that star-building site, and I just think that's a bad location and a bad idea to give the Royals what they truly want, and that's a way to expand and grow revenue and use that stadium 365.
Hey, keep looking at every option, though.
Yeah, like, sure, absolutely.
Get every option possible. It seems like everybody's doing their, really with both stadiums. I know the Chiefs isn't as far along. They're,
right.
But like explore every option.
That's right.
Explore every option. Cause there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
So,
and then you can't say no.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that aspect. Nobody's dead set on going here right now.
Right. Just
throw them all out there and see what's there.
Find out what your options are.
The quarterback's raving about the new running back. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes next.
This is Fesco in the Morning. Preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thank you, Laura Nicole.
Wow, 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 wow. Chiefs' first preseason game is Saturday at the Chicago Bears at noon on 106.5 The Wolf.
Pre-game begins now.
We'll be on with pregame a little shorter for preseason. Ramp up at 11.
Shorter. A lot, like the two-thirds shorter than a normal pregame show.
Yeah, we'll just have to talk faster is all.
Be lazy.
Just have to just get more in quickly.
Dan Israel's like, I've been to camp. I don't have time for pregames anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh is ready already. Suit and tied up, ready for the plane.
Let's go today. You're going to get on that plane, aren't you? It's going to be exciting for you. You're going to get a Whataburger?
I mean, I will be asleep before the wheels up. It'll be great.
But how can you sleep on that plane when you know there's going to be meal service? I mean, that 30-minute flight to Chicago, you'll probably have three Chateaubriands.
I can't tell you the last time I've received a drink on a plane.
Well, because you're cheap.
No. Like the one they give you for free?
Oh, because you're out cold.
No pop, sleeping. No water, nothing.
I'm out.
Wow.
You're out.
They can't get to me fast enough.
You're thinking about a drink on a plane. I'm thinking about a horse on a plane.
You know what I mean? Like when they run the beverage cart through the aisle there.
And knock your elbow. Never got one, huh?
Nope.
Even when you're with your wife, like when you guys went away for your anniversary.
She usually gets the extra, like, oh, here's the
extra snack.
Here's the whatever. But no, I'm never awake.
So you sleep even when you're with her, not just with me or with work related stuff.
I'm out.
You are. What does she think about that?
No, I don't know if she completely appreciates. She'd probably rather have a conversation. But
So now what am I supposed to do for the next 3 hours?
She knows my drill. Yeah. It's like
What is it about the plane that makes you do that?
She says I do it in the passenger seat too. Like,
oh, are you narcoleptic?
If she's driving, I'm out.
You are. So
yeah,
you
I'm like terrible navigator. She's like, you're the worst navigator. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
I've never had that happen when we've gone to St. Joe, and we're going back next week. We actually got 2 days up in St. Joe next week.
I'm
you're awake for that. No?
I'm pretty sure I've nodded off a couple times between here and St. Joe.
Oh, you have.
Oh yeah.
Driving or riding?
No, riding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
With the sunglasses on, kind of behind there, kind of nodding off a little bit, head bobbing. I'm sure I've done that.
Now I'll be honest with you. Driving back from St. Joe the last time when you were driving, I was kind of nodding off in there. My brain was kind of shutting down. I could feel that happening.
As a kid, it was because I got car sick.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so I would just always fall asleep.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just continued. But yeah. And the plane one, yeah, I've had some moments. There was a flight that Dan Israel told about. There was a flight last year. Woo, we were into flew into DC and I was real close to the barf bag. It was bad.
Yeah. So maybe you should stay asleep.
But even he admitted, it's like, yeah, that was a rough flight. Like, you think?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's completely that. I just like, I'm out.
Yeah. And from the text line, 913 makes a lot of sense. You get there faster when you sleep.
Yeah.
It's true. You do.
You don't get to catch the new movies that are released on most of the airlines.
That's all right.
You know, I've watched them in like three different flights. You know,
so you will sleep on this 30-minute flight to Chicago.
Last year, it wasn't even that great a movie. It was called Stillwater.
About the Oklahoma State Cowboys?
No, but they were from Oklahoma. But it was a Matt Damon movie.
Oh, I love Matt Damon.
Took me three flights to finish that movie.
Yeah,
on Southwest.
That's all right.
I just kept nodding off. Then I was like, I think it was at 35 minutes. No chance. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to a quick nap between here and Chicago.
There you go. Great. Well, enjoy it. Yes.
Be great.
You'll be great. And then you'll get to Chicago and you'll be ready to go on State Street. It's a great street.
Mm. Patrick Mahomes, a big fan of your guy. One Isaiah Pacheco. He's probably our guy to watch during the preseason.
Yeah.
He's had probably the most. I mean, we know Trent McDuffie's going to play a lot.
Yep.
We know George Karloftis is going to play a lot this year. Pacheco is interesting because he's a seventh-round pick. And you're like, okay, well, how's he going to crack into the mix? Well, yesterday he's kind of getting some time with the ones.
I think he's the most intriguing guy in all of camp to watch.
He's
going to
get the longest look to kick return.
Yeah.
And maybe more. And I don't know. It's pretty smart to get the quarterback's trust, is it not, in this system? Yeah.
He's physically gifted. I mean, he's a smart player. He practices really hard. I mean, he's big, he's fast. And, I mean, when you're big and fast and you're smart, usually good things happen. So it'll be good to see him now have to show off his vision wherever we're tackling, making those cuts and then getting vertical and showing off that speed. So, I mean, he has all the physical tools, and he's been mentally great at practice. So it'll be exciting to see him in the game where you get to go out there and make stuff happen.
A lot of good stuff from the quarterback there. A lot of superlatives from this guy. And like I said, I think he's going to be the most intriguing guy to watch this preseason. I mean, yes, McDuffie and Karloftis and Sky Moore. I feel like we know what we're going to get out of them because they were drafted so high. Like, they're first and second round picks. We expect them to be pretty good. But this guy's a seventh round pick, and he shouldn't have been a seventh round pick, but a lot of folks didn't do their due diligence. He got lost in the crack in the COVID year, you know, came back for that senior year. There were a lot of fifth year senior running backs that came back that kind of usurped him in the draft, and teams picked those guys over Isaiah Pacheco, and he just kept falling and falling and falling. And quite honestly, I don't think a lot of teams did their homework on this guy. Brett Veach and his staff put in yeoman's work when it came to doing their homework. That's what they excel at, finding guys that nobody's ever heard of and creating good football players out of them. And Isaiah Pacheco is a really good football player, built like a brick you-know-what house. I mean, from the waist down is just impressive to look at. I can't wait to see him out there on the field. Like, to me, he's the most intriguing guy to watch during these preseason games. And hopefully it carries into the regular season. And, you know, Ronald Jones doesn't make the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's compelling because I think they probably want to see him with the lights on, too.
Yeah, sure. Right? Absolutely.
It's the old cliche. Some guys probably don't need that. Like, whatever. Like, no, we got to see where he fits in the pecking order. And this may make us make another decision on somebody we counted on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's had the chance to be the surprise, and he looks like he's doing the part well.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, I've heard from multiple people now inside the organization, one of those, like, without, you know, like, how about this guy? Like, people are like, hey, check out this guy. Like, people are outwardly pushing this guy forward. And if you're in the organization, you're not really doing that with a seventh-round draft pick, right? When was the last time somebody came up to you, Josh, and elbowed you down there on the side and go, watch this seventh-round draft pick, watch this undrafted kid? You don't get that a lot, right? A seventh-round pick, and everybody inside this organization is stoked to watch this kid play.
Well, I can't say never. I think that happens. I think it happens a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who's the last guy you
I think it was
that?
Turk Wharton.
Oh, Turk Wharton. Yeah, that's true.
Watch out for this Missouri Rolla kid.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, okay. Yes, and they made the rotation. You're like, oh, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good little savvy move.
Maybe,
so no,
sure.
I think they have kind of that favorite every year. But if he, I won't say cost him, but if he costs Ronald Jones a roster spot,
he did something really good. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's less about probably Ronald Jones and more about Isaiah Pacheco. Like,
absolutely it is.
Wow, we got a veteran guy because we thought we needed him, and mm-hmm. maybe we don't need him, you know?
And now we got a trade
interesting
piece.
Interesting. Does Sphincter have a new title?
He does.
The
boss has a new title.
Huh.
Yeah.
Your least favorite 610 sports radio personality, our former producer, now boss, Steven Spector,
yeah,
has a new title.
He does. I was in a meeting yesterday here at Odyssey, and it was me and Nivens was involved in this meeting, and the big boss who runs the operation here, and Dana Wright was part of the meeting as well from KMBZ, and we were talking about something, and the boss says, go talk to your brand manager about that. And immediately Dana and I look at each other, and she beat me to it. She goes, brand manager, you mean the program director, you know, like the guy who runs the station? And she goes, yeah, they're called brand managers now. And I'm still looking at Dana, and again, she beat me to it. She goes, that's BM. And everybody started laughing.
So Sphincter's a BM.
He's a BM. Yeah. He's
that
a
seems
BM.
Appropriate.
Yeah, it really does for the text line especially.
Yeah,
yes.
So the text line's got to love this.
Yeah, Steven Spector, BM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his title. Brand manager of 610
well,
Sports Radio, which boils down to the abbreviation of BM.
Yeah, so Sphincter BM.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
I have to change his email so you guys can find him.
Yes. Steven.SphincterBM@Odyssey.com. I was dying yesterday. I'm like, Dana, we're on the same page on this one. I couldn't wait to tell you guys that Sphincter got a new title. Because we call the program directors the PDs. It's always been the abbreviation. So now if you're a brand manager,
you're a BM. Yeah.
You're just a BM.
So Sphincter's a BM.
Sphincter's
this
a BM.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Makes a lot of sense.
You want me to play different music? Hold on. I got to check with my BM.
Yeah. I got to check my BM. There you go.
I got to check with my BM on that one.
So the BM canceled, shouted out.
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
Yes. All
right. He's no longer the PD.
Now
he's the
it.
BM.
Now we got it.
Yep.
An amazing and very appropriate honor for a late athlete. Next.
Fesco in the morning. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
In on a Friday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams producing.
This time tomorrow, you'll be already at Soldier Field getting
That's
ready
true.
For your sideline
That's
job.
That's true. We arrive early.
Yeah.
Gotta beat the rush.
Make sure you wear sunscreen tomorrow. It's going to be hot down there at noontime.
Now, it takes our crew quite a while to basically you roll into a stadium and you build a radio station.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a pretty hardy endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't do any of that, though, do you?
No.
They tell you to stay away.
I used to be like I could figure it out.
Yeah. Yes, you could.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can get us on the air when we're away on a remote or whatever.
Back in the day it was two microphones and a phone line.
Two turntables and a microphone, actually.
That's right.
I thought I was pretty like equipment savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rolled into these guys, the Chiefs Radio Network. It's like NASA. I have no idea. But
you just offended some astronauts.
Literally, Dana and I, we will show up. They won't even let us like carry gear for the most part. I mean, it's we're talent.
Don't touch that.
I mean, it's bad.
Mitch may consider himself talent. You and Dana are not.
It's bad. I know. We don't want to do it. Like, can we help? Nope. And they just, and it's get out of the booth.
Right.
Because it's just, I don't know where anything goes, and I am zero help.
Yeah.
They're just like, just go away for several hours. So Dave and I were going to walk the stadium or
meanwhile,
watch TV.
Engineer Olympics is going on in the booth.
It is an amazing, they should do like a time-lapse thing of them putting the broadcast booth together. It's an amazing.
It's crazy.
It's amazing, but I am zero help.
Zero good
zero
for you.
Help.
You should stay away. There's no reason to get involved with any of that.
We're like, what's there? What do they got to eat there?
Yeah, right. You mentioned you're the talent or whatever you term.
I did.
You
used air quotes.
Did you know at Channel 9 there's a parking spot that says The Talent and Chris Ketz parks there?
Oh, well, that's good for him. Yeah.
Same one here for Dana Wright, too. Yeah.
That's good. We lost our parking spaces, actually, yeah, here.
We did.
Kind of upset about that.
Bob and I in B-Dub used to park in spaces. We were, everybody the first ones at the building.
Usually the only ones for a time.
And so we'd park the first three spaces, and suddenly they've started to give that to the employee of the month, and none of us have parked there since.
No, we have not. I don't know what it's going to take to get that employee of the month thing, but maybe the BM will give it to us.
Go check with the BM. So,
I don't know what we've done wrong, but can't even park close to the building anymore.
Hey, BM, get on that.
Get the BM on it.
Which, by the way, that's Finkter's new title, BM.
Yes, yes. So when you send your hate mail.
He's the brand manager.
To the BM. Mm-hmm. That's who it is.
Steven.Sphincter-BM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really loved this story when it came out yesterday afternoon. I thought this just, sometimes a sports story just feels right. The NBA is retiring the number 6 jersey of Bill Russell across the league.
That's cool.
Russell, of course, recently passed away. Obviously, he's the all-time winner, like of titles.
11 championships.
Titles, but he meant much more than that to the league and in his work on and off the court. And like from the day, even from when he retired on, his influence to the league was so massive that I was like, that is really cool. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of those, right? Jackie Robinson's 42.
Right. Wayne Gretzky's 99. And Bill Russell's 6.
And Bill Russell's 6. And that's it.
Right.
And that feels right. What an honor.
Right. It's crazy to think that Bill Russell, number one, has 11 championships. But more importantly, what he meant for, the social rights movement in this country as well. There was a story that I was reading about Bill Russell about they were in Louisville, I think it was, for a preseason type of exhibition basketball game. And they went into a restaurant. They wouldn't serve African-Americans. Bill Russell didn't play in the game. He boycotted the game because he goes, well, if you're not going to serve me dinner, I'm not playing here. And I think, Bill Russell was one of those guys who was willing to stand up for what was right in a time where, people we were still a segregated country. And Bill Russell did some really, really great things for the civil rights movement in this country and fought for civil rights really until the day that he died. And, you mentioned the Gretzky number 99, obviously Jackie Robinson being number 42 in Major League Baseball. I started to think about, if this is the NFL and they're going to find, the right person to retire the number for. And the first African-American to play in the NFL was Fritz Pollard back in the 1920s. And he went to Brown University, I believe. And I started to think, all right, what about his number? He was playing in a day and age before numbers were even worn on their jerseys. And I saw a couple of photos of him this morning, either wearing 19 or 20, that, was his number. Maybe that's a number you could look at if you're the NFL to retire. But after Fritz Pollard left the NFL, the NFL owners got together and banded and said, we're not going to allow African-Americans to play in this league. And it wasn't until 1947 again when 4 African-Americans finally broke the color barrier in the National Football League and were allowed to play in that league. So I think Fritz Pollard is a guy you don't hear a lot about. You've heard of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, right?
Yeah.
And you probably think to yourself, I don't even know what that is. But that's where you hear Fritz Pollard a lot. But he played like 8 or 9 seasons in the NFL, truly before the NFL was allowing African-Americans to play. And then they banded together, the owners did, and said, no more African-Americans, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So maybe Fritz Pollard is that guy for the National Football League, if you're thinking about retiring a number for somebody who meant a lot to the league and meant a lot to the civil rights movement in this country.
I was thinking Walter Payton.
Walter would be a good one.
I mean, because they did, but they've also had the man of the year.
You know
what I mean?
It's like true.
If there's anybody that would be nominated for it, I think it'd be Walter Payton because they've already kind of anointed their top honor.
Right.
The NFL man of the year after Walter Payton.
After Walter Payton,
Back to Russell for a moment. All NBA players are going to wear a commemorative patch on their shoulder this year, and every court will display a shamrock-shaped logo with Russell's number 6 on the sideline near the scorer's table.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool, too. Yeah. And then players that currently wear number 6, including LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Maybe he changes it, though, in honor, or maybe keeps it. Are going to be allowed to do so. But starting with the upcoming season, no one will be allowed to issue a number 6 to any player.
Yeah, so. It was like when, you know, when we retired 42 for Jackie Robinson, Mariano Rivera was the last number 42 that was allowed in Major League Baseball.
25 players right now are wearing number 6.
So. And I hope there, and I don't know if you can do it in basketball as much as you can in other, in a sport like baseball, but I don't think there's a day where everybody can wear number 6 on the court, because that gets into the foul situation. You can say 6 and you're like, okay, it's on everybody. But, you know, if there was a way that they could do something like that, like we do on Jackie Robinson
refs,
day,
I'd feel for that day. Yeah.
Foul on number 6. Yeah. Which one?
That wasn't me. That was that 6.
Yeah.
That wasn't me. Wasn't me.
So you probably can't do that in basketball. Yeah.
No, it was you, Draymond. Yeah. No, we know it was you. You have the foul. So, I thought pretty cool honor for one.
Really neat. Yeah,
very appropriate. Very appropriate. I don't know if you guys have done this or not, or have had to do it, but so our twins are going to turn 16 in October, and so I was getting the kidney punch. Questions asked, which were, what's this going to do to our car insurance?
Yeah, you know, that, right. You don't want to look.
I don't want to look at my premium.
With two of them, you don't want to know. Okay, yeah. It's awful. It's awful. So they were going through like, well, here's some of the things you can do to like reduce your burden. You know, like
so they got options for.
Yeah,
you.
So they got options for you. Do some of these things.
What
you can,
are they?
You can
not let them drive.
Yeah, that's
lower
that's
your
part.
A1C.
Good grades. You know, there's that good student discount, which is always important.
Mm-hmm. Remove starch.
Yeah.
Don't drive.
Yeah, don't drive. It's pretty much don't drive.
Yeah,
and then they also said, hey, the two of you, my wife and I, said you guys could do this this app. It charts your driving for the next 90 days. And you can get a discount based on how well you drive.
You.
Yeah. We're like 2 weeks into this thing. I'm a nervous wreck. It's awful. You are, if you check the, because I do, I check, like.
Make sure you're not speeding.
It doesn't have speeding, but it's hard braking.
Oh, come on now. That's stupid.
Acceleration. And then.
So like if you're gunning it off the red light or something.
Late night driving.
Late night driving.
Like between midnight and 4.
What if you've got a job that requires you to drive?
Midnight and 4. Well, you've driven so far twice to
St. Joe.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
You have.
I have. Yeah.
Nod your head, yes.
Absolutely, I have. Yeah. No, I got you.
But it is.
Make sure you flip me that $80, though.
Yeah. It's nerve wracking. Like, I want to jam on the brakes on hard time. I want to punch the accelerator every once in a while.
The way you flew past me on Metcalf yesterday, I didn't.
It didn't sense that I was.
Didn't bring up the red flag there, did it?
Does it alert you when you're not behaving?
No, only after the fact.
Does it alert you when you are being hazed?
There was literally one day I was driving on Shawnee Mission Parkway here, heading home, and there's a light right by 35, and it's, you know, it stops, and then the traffic just goes
boom. Yeah,
and so one day it stopped short, and I literally, oh no. And I got back, and it dinged me for that. I want to go there. Like, there was a person in front of me that stopped. I had to stop.
Yeah,
life
what if you're
changed.
Like you're avoiding an accident. They don't know what's
and
going on.
And so it's 90 days of it, like, mirroring your driving. I don't like it.
I tried it with our insurance company. They gave you this, like, it's through Travelers or something. And they give you the app, and they monitor you, and they want you – they want to have access to your phone 24 hours a day, no matter what. So when you get in and everything, I lasted 2 days. It's like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done. Even tried getting a burner phone. That didn't work. I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I don't qualify for this discount.
Yeah, how much of a discount are we talking, Josh, if you're able to get
this
thing?
Well, I can look at it for you right
all
now.
Right, please tell me.
I'll see what it says today. I'm trending up right now.
Okay.
All right. Trending up, a $335 yearly projected saving.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
All right. You'll take that.
But I have 69 days left.
How many?
69.
Nice.
So my soft braking is rated as good. Uh-huh. See, I've stopped short
soft
a few times.
Braking.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then steady acceleration. I've been trying to.
Got not just slam on the gas.
Yeah. That's hard. That's hard to do.
And I then, think I need this
and
app.
And then daytime driving, they say, is excellent because I think I'm might have fibbed about going to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to go to work.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I think I need this app because at the end of the 90 days, the insurance company will be paying me for the right to insure me because I'm such a good driver.
And then when the kids are driving, because they're, you know, we're still teaching them to drive. So when they drive, I mean, I'm on this thing making sure like I was the passenger. Like,
yeah.
It is not me.
Not me.
Yeah. Yeah. If someone lurched away for the stop sign, that's my kid.
Yeah.
Can I speak to your BM? It is not
it
me.
It is not me.
My wife's premium.
This is nerve wracking though.
App.
Yeah, worry about that.
I, you know, on the Life 360 app, which I think most parents have with the families to kind of figure out what's going on with the kiddos, right? Every once in a while, I'll get on there and I know my wife's on her way home and I'll look at it. If she's speeding, I'll screenshot it and I'll send it to her, let her know I caught you speeding. We do not speed in the Fesco household. 65 miles an hour in a 65. Mm. Let's go. Mm. I'm not about to get a speeding ticket. I can't afford that.
Yep.
Plus, I don't want to support the government.
You don't want this. It's 90 days, man. It's too long.
I'd be fine with that. I'd take that app right now. Like I said, they would be writing me checks.
No. The New Jerseyan would come out of you.
Yes,
and
it would.
You wouldn't like what you found out.
You think?
Yes.
Especially,
I know.
Especially in the car pickup line at school.
Yeah. Well, I don't have
That's
to go there anymore.
That's where you
lose.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But does it record middle fingers and screaming?
Luckily, no.
Yeah.
Luckily, no, but
okay.
It's smarter than you'd like it to be.
It is. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'd still think they'd be writing me checks.
We could cross another cliche off the preseason game bingo card. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Royals insider Josh Vernier joins the show every Monday at 8:30 on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Name the band, B-Dub.
Pearl Jam.
Please don't do that. Come on, no.
It's Friday. Come on, let's have fun.
We are having a good time.
Soundgarden, baby.
No, it is not.
Not Soundgarden.
No. Never mind.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Puddle
B-Dub,
of Mud.
Never mind, B-Dub. Don't name the band. Never mind.
It says it right there, though, I think on your computer, doesn't it?
Hold on, let me see.
Maybe it does, I don't know.
Nirvana.
Never mind, B-Dub.
Nirvana?
Is that the greatest album of all time?
No.
You don't think so? Really? What do you think the greatest album of all time is?
Thriller, Michael Jackson.
That's a fair one. That's a fair argument.
That's pretty good.
Josh, what about you?
I mean, it's hard to beat the Joshua Tree album.
Yeah. It's not Joshua, so you can't go with it.
I claimed it for that album, yeah.
I'm sure you did. You probably did. Just like, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably so. Preseason game number one coming up on Saturday.
What Glenn Campbell album are you going to tell us is the best one?
Well, the Rhinestone Cowboy, for sure.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, God. The text line just doesn't get it. They don't know, which is great.
Gone, I love y'all.
Boy. Yeah. If you do have a great album, your favorite album of all time, 913-586-7610 on the Jay Southland Show Service text line. That one's up there for me. Thriller is a great one as well. Pearl Jam 10 is a phenomenal album.
That's solid.
That's a very, very good one.
I liked Nirvana. My question was,
yes, he grew up and he's an adult and he did sue. Oh, sorry. What happened to Kurt Cobain?
Did their short run overhype the album?
I don't think so.
Like,
I just think that is such a great album.
And I know the Foo Fighters have been great too. So I'm like, yeah, the evolution moving on was fine. But like, we don't know. Like, would they have had a ton of good albums or a great album to start? And then I don't know, you know, his passing leads to believing that they were always going to be good.
Yeah.
They might not have been.
They may not. You're right about that. Appetite for Destruction. That
doesn't
Guns
take
Roses.
Down that album at all, but no. I'm just saying.
You're right. What would album 2, 3, 4, and 5 have been like? Would it have been as good as that? Did they hit a home run and walk off in grand fashion and call it a day with their first album? Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
No, Appetite for Destruction is up there for me as well.
Led Zeppelin 4. I'm good with those.
Zeppelin 4 is a great album.
There's a whole bunch of good Zeppelins.
Yeah, that is a great album. Beatles' White Album, even me, a non-Beatles fan, understands how good and influential that album was. The best part about this exercise that we have going on right now is that intern Alex is sitting there going, I don't know who any of these bands are.
Which is great.
Right? Purple Rain, that's another good one coming great in. One. I like this from the 913. Nirvana's Nevermind changed the entire landscape of music. Maybe not the best album, but its impact is much larger than almost every album.
It changed the scene.
It did. It's hard to argue with that one.
Kinda
it really
like,
is.
Kind of like Dr. Dre and the Chronic revolutionized music as a whole and hip-hop and West Coast. And that's right up there is one of the greatest albums as well.
Forrest Gump soundtrack somebody put on there. You know what? You laugh. That's got like every great song from the 60s on there.
Ain't no Footloose, but whatever.
No Kenny Loggins there, baby.
No, that is true. No Loggins, baby.
Yes, yeah. Which album is that? Yeah. Loggins album.
Loggins.
This is the appropriate answer to that. So the first preseason game comes up on Saturday, noon on 106.5, the Wolf, Chiefs, and Bears. And we've got another one marked off the bingo card.
What's that?
Just saw this coming with the first preseason game ahead. Justin Reed nailed it for us.
Guys are excited to play, and I'm excited to be able to line up against somebody wearing a different colored jersey than I am for once.
There it is. Yep. Nailed it. Yep. Got it.
Yep.
Cliche, baby. Yep. Cliche.
Looking forward to hitting somebody else. Should have saw that one coming. Looking forward to hitting somebody else for once.
Looking forward to the challenge of hitting somebody else.
Yep. Got
to
find somebody in another jersey.
But you think when Justin Reed lays somebody out, he stands over him and goes, time's yours.
Yeah. You hit that time of camp where it's time to hit somebody else. Tired of looking at my teammates' jerseys.
That's right.
Got to find an opponent jersey.
Been 10 long days of this. I got right to get somebody else.
Right off that bingo card.
There it is. Hit somebody else.
Big fat check mark
right
there.
Did we get knocked the cobwebs loose? It'll be good to get hit the first time.
Lights come on.
Yeah, the lights come on. Yeah, play popcorn. Goes faster.
The popcorn's popping and the lights come on.
Yeah.
One of those may be in cliches from camp.
Really?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
I think we should probably find out. Let's do it.
Well, hello! Guess who's back? Back again for another year of cliches from camp. It is me, yours truly, the British woman. And now, another edition of Cliches from camp.
Guys are hungry.
I think it's good to kind of get the juices going, get yourself out there.
I just like to keep myself ready in case that does happen, I'm able to make that pass.
I don't count the numbers. Everybody's going
to
play.
Guys are excited to play, and I'm excited to be able to line up against somebody wearing a different colored jersey than I am for once.
There's always somebody that surprises you.
Well, if you get hit one time, you kind of see what it is, get hit again as a quarterback. I feel like after that, you're good to...
We know what you're going to do. You know what we're going to do. Let's line up and let's do it and see, you know, test the wheels.
How he handles the bright lights.
I'm at the end of the day, if you go out there and play like you've done your whole life, you're in this position for a reason and you can let your talent show.
So that's what this is about. It's about showing, giving guys opportunity to show what they got and some guys earning some roster spots.
We have to make these cuts. You know, it's as hard as it can be on Brett.
No matter how hard you practice out here, to have the live bullets, I mean, live things going, like have guys flying around around your face, you can get hit as a quarterback. I think that's stuff that you have to make sure that you're ready to go.
I've always said that your best players need to be your leaders, and your leaders need to lead by example.
Let me tell you, Herbie, doggone it.
Their game plan will be simple, ours will be simple. You're going to know what to do. Go out and show what you got. Go make a play.
Never going to say never.
But he's physically gifted. I mean, he's a smart player. He practices really hard. I mean, he's big, he's fast. I mean, when you're big and fast and you're smart, usually good things happen.
It's a whole different ball game when you start adding in the physicality and you start testing the man's will to line up against you every snap.
We're making progress. We're getting better every day.
At the end of the day, be the best version of yourself. That's all you can ask for. That's all anybody can ask for.
That's what real football is.
Ah, cliches from camp. Delicious like teen crumpets. Come back tomorrow for another edition of Cliches from Camp.
I gotta think the players love when you get to the first preseason game so they can turn over the next, because there's like a whole other page.
No new page of cliches. It was good to get the first game out of our system. We made some mistakes. Knocked the rust off.
The cobwebs, whatever. Yeah. Light. We had the bright lights one in there, which is good. I love when the lights come on. You find out a lot. They're playing a day game, but whatever.
Right. playing at noon.
Well, whatever. It's either here or there. When those lights come on. Okay.
God, when the lights come on, you Andy, it's noon.
The first game gets there because then they could turn over like, yeah. We entered the next phase of our cliche book.
Yeah, that's right.
This is good.
Yeah,
this
thank good. Goodness. Thank goodness we can get now. This is phase Oof. Two or phase two of our cliches. Oof.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.